Hey, ladies, Brave Enough is here to remind you that you're not alone and that you have the strength to be brave enough for one more day.
Hey there, welcome back to Brave Enough. And today we're going to be talking about whether our children have too many toys. So Christmas is over.
Boo, so sad.
And now starts the cleanup, the sorting, getting all of our toys, the children's toys put away. And it's a task. It's a task and a half.
It is a task. And, you know, those toys start stacking up in the corner, yes. Not to mention all the toys that you already had beforehand. And it's just like, and then on top of all of that, you've got all of just the coming down from Christmas, you know?
Kind of the letdown.
So I totally, yeah, this is a really fun topic, I think, because like I said, I think a lot of us face this question.
Absolutely.
Just, what do we do with all this stuff? You know, we got all this new stuff for the holidays.
Right.
We already had so much stuff in our house. And yeah, I'm excited to be talking about this.
Yeah. So our children get so many toys. I looked into this study. And I know Larissa loves it when we dig into things.
Facts.
And
I love facts.
Statistics. So the study shows that the average 10-year-old has 238 toys.
Okay, I'm going to stop her. Ooh, wow.
That's absurd, right?
Oh, wow. 238 toys.
I don't think Brandon ever had that many toys. But
I don't think I have room in my house for 238 toys.
That is crazy.
Okay, continue with the fact.
But they only play with 12 of them on a daily basis.
That
so
I buy.
That's more realistic. I get that. There are, you know, maybe 10 or 12 toys that Brandon used to play with all the time, his favorites. And there were ones that, you know, he gets from Christmas or whatever, and then they'd break and then they'd just kind of get piled up and mm-hmm. then we'd have to give them away or whatever. So, but another study shows that parents in the U.S. spend an average of, okay, you ready for this? $371 per child per year on toys. Again, astounding. That's a lot.
That is astounding. And I guess my question would be, are we talking just purely toy? You know, I mean, like I'm sitting here trying to do these numbers in my head. I'm trying to figure out what I spend on an annual basis. And I know I spend way more than that on my daughter a year, but how much of that is designated to
specifically
toys? Yeah.
Right.
I mean, one of the things in my household that we're really, really good about is we spend our money on experiences and less on toys.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't get me wrong. My house is bursting at the seams with toys and stuffed animals. So by no means am I good at this. And it's not just us. It's our parents. It's our right. Their aunts and uncles, your brothers and sisters,
sure.
Especially since we're right on the heels of the Christmas season. You know, you sometimes don't have control over all the gifts that come into your house after Christmas. And so these numbers are astounding to me. And I'm sure they're accurate. I'm just sitting here trying to do the math in my head. What did I buy her last year? Does it equal that? Did I spend more than that? Am I really bad at this?
And I suppose that 238 toys per child, you know, is from year to year and that they've just increased. It's not just all
right. Because it did specify 10-year-old. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So anyways, if you mix all these stats that were suggested, an abundance of toys reduces the quality of playtime and creativity in kids. And that's kind of what you were saying, Larissa, is just the experiences maybe is what we should be focused more. Because what do we do? It's time to declutter the toys. How do we do that? What do we do to get less toys, but more meaningful toys and meaningful experiences. I know you do a lot of the meaningful experiences, and all of you who are listening, you've kind of gathered that, I'm sure, with what Larissa does, what I've done in the past of for the holidays and for birthdays and going out. Brandon and I used to do walks and hikes, and we just loved the outdoor stuff. Mm-hmm. But how do you tell friends and family, don't get any toys? Because, okay, I'm a grandma, yeah. So I want to get my grandchildren toys. I want to get them what they want. And obviously what they want is just sometimes a fad, what they're just going yep. through. And mm-hmm. and my husband and I will look, this past Christmas we went shopping and we looked at toys and they're plastic. And they're just like, we looked at each other and we're like, this is what he really wants.
Right.
But it's going to break. The first time they step on it, it's done. Or pieces of this game, it's going to be lost. And then they're not going to play the game anymore. So why are we spending $56 on this one
right,
toy?
Right.
It's really hard to determine what do you get. But we want to give. We mm-hmm. love to give. That's part of our job.
Well, and I fall, even as a mother, I fall victim to this specifically for Christmas. Now, birthdays, I've got that under wraps. She really doesn't get anything for her birthday because it's an experience. We might buy clothes to go along with that experience, whatever. But for Christmas, I fall victim for this because the idea, and see, and I grew up with two older brothers. So by mm-hmm. default, even if we all only got a few things, the tree was still always full of gifts.
Yeah.
And the idea of my daughter coming down on Christmas morning without that Christmas tree being jam-packed full of stuff is devastating to me.
Yes.
But I don't want her to have all the stuff.
Right.
So, I mean, this is, it's a really hard thing.
Fine line.
It's a really hard thing because experiences are hard to wrap. And so you have to get really, really creative with that. And actually, and this was not an idea that I gave my brother, but my brother one year knew that Marley and I had really gotten into rock climbing. And he, was really, obviously he was really supportive of that. That's a great activity to be doing with my daughter. So he bought an experience for us for Christmas. And so it was, you know, passes to the gym where we went. He looked all that up, found out all that information. I mean, I was completely blown away. Like he hadn't asked me about any of this. He figured this out all on his own. But the gift, he got her own chalk bag. And so she had something she could open up with the pass in the inside. And so, like I said, you can get creative with these things. And I literally just touched on it a minute ago. Like I said, for her birthday, I don't really go all out for her birthday. But what I do is I go to Disneyland, which is going all out.
Yes.
But again, it's not something she can open up.
Right.
And so that's what I mean by the all out. Like sometimes I think it's hard for kids. It's hard for us as parents because that mentality of the gifts and the unwrapping and the experience and everything. But you can buy a Minnie Mouse shirt that she can unwrap to wear there. That's part of the experience.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like I said, I'm 100% guilty of this. I mean, I literally spent, I don't know, weeks talking to Jan and debating about the Christmas present that I got Marley this year. And it was because it was such a pricey gift. I didn't really feel like I should get her anything else. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, well, what's she going to open on Christmas morning? How do I make this like a cool thing? And so it is. It's really, really hard. And I look in her room and I see all the stuff that she doesn't, that she doesn't play with. And this statement that you just read a minute ago about the abundance of toys reduces the quality of playtime and creativity in kids.
Yes.
And I want you guys to really, really hear that. The creativity in kids, our kids are amazing and capable of creating a world in their minds that, and we were too at one time. And you know what? If you let yourself go, you can be in that world with them. But I think that gets lost when, like I said, the decision now has to be when you have to go into your room and decide what you're going to play with. And then you spend all the time getting that toy out because you have to dig it out from all the other toys and the this and the that's. And, you know, kids don't need much.
Right.
They need very little.
Absolutely. I remember one Christmas, Brandon got, I got him a Hot Wheels. I don't even know if they exist anymore.
Do they?
Okay. So I'm like, am I aging myself here? But I left it in the big box and we took it out and he was like, yay. And it was winter and he couldn't go outside mm-hmm. and use it at that time. But he got in the box. and he was playing in the box. And I'm like, oh, crap, I could have just got him a box. We ended up cutting the bottom out and cutting holes in the side. So he used it like a car, and he was kind of going around the house, and we, you know, he drew on it, and he spent hours playing with that silly box.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that told me so much right there, that kids really don't need a lot. They need to massage their ability to think on their own and to be creative and to come up with ideas. And here are a few things that I also thought would be great to let your family and friends know. Depending on your child, and you know your child, if they love to draw, then maybe art supplies is a really good thing because it's something that they will continue doing. What about a movie night? Brandon and I, when he was a teenager, we went to movies, and that was really fun. Tickets or gift cards to a trampoline gym or swimming lessons if they're really into water, bumper cards, and, you know, backyard camp out. That, oh, we did that. We put up the big old tent in our backyard, and I could still go in the house and use the bathroom, which was wonderful. So it was like camping, but it wasn't. And we made s'mores, and that's the experience, and that's the birthday he can remember.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing. Think outside of, okay, here's the air quotes, box. If your child loves to play with boxes, my mom had, my dad was very ill for a time, and she had little medicine containers, pill boxes or pill containers. Yeah. They were all empty and she washed them out, but the kids used them like dominoes and building blocks. And she had probably 30 of them, you know, over the years. And those kids, all her grandkids couldn't wait to get the box of pill bottles to play with them. They were plastic. They were wonderful. And were like, seriously, that cost her nothing, just cleaning them out. So be creative that way. Get gifts that the children can use for their abilities, their gifts, their talents with, or get them clothes that they love. Marley loves to dress up. So.
Well, and that I was actually just getting ready to feed off of that with that very same thought is that we do a lot of costumes in our house, as you guys have well learned from Halloween. Yes. But and it's not so much when I think of Marley and like the quote unquote dress up time, like I don't really remember ever having the kind of dress up time that you read about in books where you like dress up as a fairy and you sit down and have tea. But it's but we have a plethora of dress up options in different ways that she can express herself. Mm-hmm. And so with this experience and with this creativity, I think there comes a requirement from you. And it goes back to the podcast that we did probably right off the bat when we started. It's a fully present thing.
Yes.
And maybe you don't have the time to be fully present in that moment, but by having all these dress up clothes for Marley, where I'm going with this is that she feels like she can express herself, and I don't put limits on that. And what I mean by that is that I allow her to wear those dresses to church on Sunday morning, and I allow her to wear those dresses for her school pictures wants. And
yes.
I mean, obviously your home, your rules, your boundaries, but I think there needs to be some, when you create these experiences, what you're doing is you're creating a safe space for your children to also step outside of their box, and you're allowing them to bring that creativity back into their world. And so I think when you're thinking about these experiences, think about things that will bring your child joy or that touches on something that is really meaningful to them. And so like when you were talking about the movie theater thing or even the box, I found myself just being flooded with memories. And it's, if your children loves the Avengers, let's say, or something like that. Yeah, and I'm grabbing at the air right now. I'm totally doing this on the fly, but it's touch into that thing that maybe you don't understand, or maybe it's Minecraft. Like, this is one of the things that I know a lot of parents struggle with, like one of these games. Like, maybe they're not things that you're involved in, but how can you create an experience that touches on that thing they love while also not cluttering your house with more toys and now creating something that is so special to that child and then also to yourself as well? Right. This list of things that Jan has on here are fantastic. I mean, one of the ones she didn't mention is going to the museums in your local area. The museums typically have different themes that come into the museums. So like, for example, I know the one here had dinosaurs at one point, and at another time they had mummies. And actually our aquarium is doing one on the Titanic. And my daughter is obsessed with the story of Titanic. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I know because of reading books to her at night, right. You know? And so those are experiences that can mean so much more than unwrapping a present. And like, for example, this year for Christmas, one of the things I had toyed with, which I didn't end up doing, which I might do for her birthday, is cooking lessons. My daughter is obsessed with cooking. And while I know she wouldn't have anything really to rip open on Christmas morning, except for like a cookie cutter, I know that that touches on something that really means something to her. So that actually would be even more impactful than having that gift to rip open on Christmas morning. And I'm sitting here and saying these things, and I still struggle with them every single year. So I do not have this perfected. It is hard.
It is hard.
Because we want our kids to have what every other kid has, and we don't want them to feel like they're being left out or not getting the things that they want, or, you know, whatever hang up you have. But I think it's so crucial, and I think it's so important, because not only are you allowing them to be creative, you're allowing yourself to be creative.
Right.
And on one of the other podcasts, I talked about getting in touch with my child. And these things that Jan listed, they allow you to do that with your child. And so now you're creating memories on top of it. And if you guys haven't noticed a common theme in this podcast, memories and, you know, having that stuff that you can cling to for years to come is huge to us. It's a very, very, very important thing.
Yeah. And, you know, and I just go back to when Brandon was young and a teenager, and I just have to smile, you know? Yeah, there were probably some Christmases or birthdays or celebrations that, yeah, I probably did go a little bit overboard. The ones that stick out are the memory ones, are the experiences, are the things that, yeah, I got him just this tiny little box. Okay, one year for Christmas, I got Brandon a cell phone, and I told him he couldn't have a cell phone until he was 18. I know, okay, kids get them so young now, but at that point—
Right, that was a big deal.
He had to wait till he was 18. And so what I did, his birthday was in April, so the Christmas before, I got him a cell phone and I put it in a box. It was all charged up. And I said, oh, but wait, before you open that gift, and I got my phone and I called that number. And it rang in the box, and he just freaked out. He couldn't open the box quick enough, that, you know, because that was something very unexpected. But it was an experience. It was something that I will never forget. Mm-hmm. And it's in my heart. And long after he's gone, I remember that, those things.
Well, and playing off of that, which is what I was trying to say a little bit ago, is that very thoughtful gifts, not just buying the toy because it's the cool toy on the shelf, but buying the toy because, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with buying the toys, buying the toy because it is tied to a special memory makes that gift so much more. And I'm going to share what I did this past Christmas. A week ago now? This is so wild.
Yeah.
Marley is so over the moon to be trying out for an upcoming play. It's Alice in Wonderland, and she's going out for Cheshire Cat. While I was out one day, I came across a Cheshire Cat dress, and it was actually on the clearance rack. I got it for nothing. Mm-hmm. But that dress, basically she got clothes for Christmas. I mean, basically this gift was a piece of clothing for Christmas. And I mean, everybody always jokes about, oh my gosh, I got socks for Christmas or whatever. But that dress, I think, meant just as much or more to her than some of the other things she got, because it was tied to something that was so very important to her and to a memory that was so very, or a memory that hopefully will be so important to her. You know, play hasn't happened yet, blah, blah, blah. But like, so with the phone, like Jan was saying, is because she tied it to a thread, it wasn't just giving him the phone. It was giving him the phone in a way that he would remember.
Right.
So when you do the toys with intention. Be intentional about the things that you're getting for your kids. Don't just get them because.
Right.
Get them because you know that they're so fired up about the new Frozen 2 movie. Make a special memory with that Frozen 2 movie so that when they play with that toy, which then makes that toy that much more exciting. And I think also a side effect of it is that it allows the kids to be more grateful for the things that they are receiving. Maybe not always, but I mean, I think when it's tied to something, now it's not just about getting a toy. It's about getting a gift that is rooted in something.
Right, right. And here's something to ask yourself before you get a toy for your child. Ask three questions. Actually, I'm going to say four, but the first one is, how quickly will your child get bored of this toy? In other words, does it reveal will the toy reveal how creativity will be? I guess I'm just not saying what I want to say here.
Well, and how quickly will you get bored with the toy? How many different ways can they use the toy?
Yes.
Like, so I mean, like with the, if we circle back to the art supplies that you were talking about earlier, is it something that they can continue to play with, continue to have adventures with, continue to come up with new dialogue and new stories?
Exactly.
And again, I'll circle back to one of the gifts I got her for Christmas. It was a big expenditure, and I debated this for a very, very long time. But this is one of the questions I ask. Mm-hmm. It was, how much joy are we going to get over or going to have with this? Is it going to be usable over and over and over again? Can we create new stories every single time we play with it? So I get where you were trying to go there.
Yeah.
I jumped
Thank
in.
You.
Sorry.
Thank you. No. And the second question is, can my child use this toy with other children?
Ooh, so, I like this one.
Yeah. I mean, does it encourage social playing and sharing with others, which is so wildly important? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that's really cool. The third one is, how long will this toy last? The durability of it, is it high quality? Is it something that will last a longer time? Like I said, some of the toys that we got our grandkids, they step on it or lose a small piece and it's done. And that's something to really think about when you're purchasing toys.
I don't know. I feel like this is something that you say when you're old, but I'm going to say it anyway. I am blown away by how cheaply things appear to be being made of late. Like when I get things for my daughter, and I am huge about this. I will pay for quality. I will pay for things that are worthwhile. I'm just blown away. And it's devastating too, if there is an attachment to that toy and something, I mean, kids drop things, kids step on things. And so to get them something that's going to turn around and break so easily it's just, you know,
Tim and I, my husband, we were just talking about Tonka trucks the other day and how they used to be made of metal.
Yeah. I have one still. It's a big old one.
Awesome. And now they're all plastic. And I kind of get why, because if they rust and the kids get a scratch, it could infect it, and that's not safe. I get that, but that's the difference.
But there's still quality plastics out there.
They are, yes.
I mean, I'm saying you could still make them well, and they're not being made well.
The very thick one, yeah. Exactly. So what about encouraging our children to join in for make-believe play? All right, I use the cardboard box already. Another thing that we used to do, which I'm sure you've done, is we used to bring all the chairs into the living room from the kitchen and pull them apart, but make a circle and put a big blanket on it, and it would be a tent in the middle of our living room.
We have one in the middle of our house right now.
Yes. You know, that's make-believe. You could go on and on with that. We used to always, as kids, also do a boat from our couch, that we'd be on the couch. And if we jump off the boat, we'd be in the water. So we jump off and pretend we're playing in the water. Oh, there's a shark. And then we get back up on the on the couch. There's so much make-believe. And I really, really believe that that's something our children are missing through a lot of the
gadgets,
technical toys that are out there and their, you know, their face is in a phone or an iPad. Now, don't get me wrong. I get it. I love everything that I have. I mean, it really makes my world easy, but we need to maybe limit that and encourage some make-believe play. I think important.
Yeah. And I'm going to echo what Jan just said. Technology is a part of our world. Like, I mean, you can't not have that be in your child's life. There's a time and a place. But I just think that it's balance. And again, I'm going to use the word, it's being intentional about the things. I mean, one of the fondest memories I have now, this is me dating myself. I'm before iPads and video games and all that kind of, I mean, video games were out, but they were still relatively new. One of my fondest memories of my brother is we had an old fold out couch in one of our guest rooms or whatever. And I remember unfolding the couch and getting underneath the bed part of it and flying it like a spaceship while eating sprinkles because that was space food.
See? Yeah, we did kind of that in our closet. We closed the closet and we'd be in the spaceship.
Yeah. And so, I mean, like I said, I think some of that, like I said, creativity and, and then again, this is also challenging you to get in there and get messy with your kids, get involved with some of this creativity. Some of it's on their own. I think it's really healthy for kids to do some of this on their own too, but I think it's also healthy for you and them for you to get in there and get involved. One of the ones that I did with Marley was, hockey pom-poms, where like we just threw a whole bunch of pom-poms on a floor. I drew little squares with tape and we had to try and get like two of the squares were mine, two of them were hers. And she talks about that. I mean, we did this when she was tiny and she still talks about this.
That's cool.
There's so many things like that. There's, you know, the garage, or the car wash one that we've done too, where you put, again, dining room chairs, you line them up and you put poles across the top and you hang ties I ripped up old bed sheets and hung them. And so then you walk through the car wash, you know, kind of thing. And there's so many things that I think are out there that are being missed, opportunities that are being missed.
Absolutely. And that's the fourth question is, can we create something that we could do make-believe play or something that creates experiences for a lifetime? Because we don't forget things. Our brain just doesn't forget. And that's what is so valuable to me as a mom, as a grandma, is the experiences that we create with our children and grandchildren. And I wouldn't trade that for the world. And the last thing I do have to say, and I kind of touched on this, is the outside is always there.
Oh, yeah.
That one is really obvious, but there are no better toys than what you can find outside.
I agree.
Go for a hike, go for a walk and just see what's there. Brandon just starts climbing trees, you know, if you're around trees. We kind of go up north in Arizona and he, you know, would climb trees if he was small. We lived in New Hampshire when he was small, so that's what he did.
Yeah.
Build forts, do things that are outside. Again, it's kind of using their imagination, using what God created them to be, little children, and just do what's fun. That's the bottom line. Do we have too many toys? Probably.
Yeah, but we all do.
Can we declutter? Most likely. But most of all, just enjoy your children and keep joy in the front row of their playtime, because the joy is what they're going to remember. They're not going to remember the plastic toy that broke last summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So start being very intentional, I guess, is what we're challenging you to do. We're all going to do it. We're all going to buy our kids too many toys. I am probably guilty party number one. But start thinking about the experiences, start thinking about the creativity, start thinking about the things that can challenge not only yourself out of the box, but your kids out of the box as well. I think, again, I already said it, it will be healthy for you and for them. Right after Christmas, it just seemed like a really great time to talk about the toy epidemic inside your house. It's, you know, it's always good. It always feels good when you start to purge some of those things. But like I said, I think if you start being really intentional moving forward about how you use the toys that are cluttering your house, maybe you pack some of them up. And that's one of the things I do with Marley is I'll put some of them away. And then when you bring them back out, it's like getting brand new toys all over again.
Yes,
you know, and
that's
so maybe start parting out out your toys. And maybe that's the way you start working towards declutter. Mm-hmm. Maybe if it's something you bring back out that doesn't have excitement or joy, then maybe that's when it's time to go.
Or you box up some toys and have your children realize that there are other children that don't have toys. Let's go donate these. Let's go give these to somebody else who doesn't and isn't as fortunate as you are to have so many toys. That really works. And the kids get that.
We hope that you guys have had a fantastic Christmas. I hope that the toys that are cluttering your house, you can take a minute and look at them and say, how can we anchor this to an amazing memory that my child will carry with them for a very long time? We are looking forward to the new year. I hope that you are too. We are very excited to ring in the new year with you guys. I hope that we can start some new and fun and exciting stuff coming 2020. So we're so glad, as always, that you are here on this podcast with us. We hope that you're joining us on social media. I hope that you are telling us the things that you want us to talk about. Get involved. Get with us. Again, we're looking forward to the new year. We're glad that you're here, and we will talk to you on the next podcast.
All right. Bye.
Bye.